And it says, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. When the Lord spoke about this man, he called him this stranger. You want to know why he used that term, stranger? It had to do with the other descriptive word that was spoken about him. He was a Samaritan. He was doubly out. He had leprosy, and he was a Samaritan. To this week, as we consider Thanksgiving, and oh yes, we're pulling out our recipe cards and making plans and calling people saying, now how many are you bringing? Are you sure? All right. Now listen, if you said you're going to bring the sweet potatoes, make sure you bring the sweet potatoes. Don't come back with something different. I used to know somebody like that. I never went to Thanksgiving with them, but I knew that. They said, whatever they say, I always bring like a healthier option of that. I said, maybe you should just not sign up for things. That's in my family, that's how you get invited to bring the plates. That's how that happens. You can forget the rolls, but don't show up with some gluten-free, tofu balls or something. Just don't do it. But as we're doing all these things, we understand. This is not unfamiliar for us. We must pause and give thanks. And we know why here in America we have Thanksgiving, right? They came over, they were able to survive. And the story of the American Thanksgiving, we know that. And we also know that as Christians, our hearts must always be grateful. But there are times when perhaps we forget just how grateful we should be. In the toil and in the mix of things, we forget who we are to God, or it's just good to be reminded. Sometimes you've got to go back and see yourself as a Samaritan stranger with leprosy, standing afar off, looking at Christ, going, I hope he sees me. Because that's the best we had. That's the best we had. So tonight I would like you, if you wouldn't mind, to imagine yourself as one of these lepers. Now leprosy was a terrible disease at the time. Of course, now we've got pills to solve it, and what a wonderful gift that we have. But at the time, it was a very slow, very agonizing death sentence. It wasn't something that killed you quick. It took your dignity. Well, first it took your life, then it took your dignity. When I say life, your family, your friends, the people you got to be around, it took that from you. Why? Because you weren't allowed to live with society. It was contagious. Now, of course, now we know it's not as contagious as we thought, but the Bible says they should be out. So they would be outside of the city, outside of the area, and they would have their own colony sometimes. And if you didn't get along well with that colony, you might just be out there on your own. And there were rules in the book that said that if you were a leper and you saw somebody approaching, you had to throw up your hands, unclean, 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 and you had to go so as not to poison or sicken that other person. And it was taken very seriously, much the same as we do today. I've heard people talk about leprosy and they go, oh man, I would never be so cruel to someone as to put them down for their medical condition. Like we all haven't been afraid of coughing in public for the last 3 years. Think about that. Everybody stay home. What's that? You don't live in a bubble? Oh, stay away, stay away, stay away. That's exactly the conditions that nobody wanted that life. Nobody wanted to wonder whether or not their fingers would fall off, or how am I going to sleep with this sore in this particular area, with the boils and the things that would erupt all over. How am I supposed to sleep like that? How am I supposed to live like that? What if this falls off? What if that goes blind? It was a mess. Life as a leper before we found a cure was brutal. They were cast away from society, away from their family and friends. Businesses and homes were forfeit. The disease itself was brutal. Depending on where you were in time, no doctor would have come near you. Imagine tomorrow being diagnosed with something that made you unfit for every room you've ever been in. Unfit to be around those that you love. At least during COVID, when we were locked down, you had the people that lived in your house. With leprosy, you weren't allowed in the house. You had to go. It was very painful, both physically and emotionally. And there was very little remedy. Now, of course, the Bible did give them recourse. Hey, listen, if you get better, the sores clear up, go show yourself to the priest. He'll check you over for these symptoms. And if they're gone, this is what you got to do. And then you're allowed to come back in. That didn't happen all that often, but when it did, what a blessing it was. It was like being born again back into society. It was like being brought back in. I'm no longer a danger or a threat to anybody. Hey, what a wonderful thing. But it didn't happen often. When we were lost, we too were in a desperate situation, headed for a place of fire and torment, a brutal place that was unforgiving and eternal. Our sin wasn't just ruining the afterlife, but it was ruining what life we had here. What's worse is that we felt as though we needed those sins in order to feel normal. Hey, I need to put this into my body. I need to have that. I need to act this way. Why? Well, because I was taught to act that way, because I like the way it makes me feel, and I gotta have this, and I gotta have that. And what we don't realize is that it's stealing from us, stealing our health, stealing our money, stealing our relationships, stealing our mind and our hearts. Sin is nothing to play with. But we were in a terrible state, with no hope for the future. While some of these things made us feel good for a moment, it wreaked more and more havoc on everything else in our lives. Like the 10 lepers, we too stood afar off from God, not understanding and unable to get too close. Again, imagine being them. Where do we see them at first? Verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Why'd they stand afar off? Because they weren't allowed to come close. It was against the law. By law, they couldn't come close to God. They couldn't come close to Christ. And I want you to imagine the rumors that were ripping up and down the country. This man was healing people. How many of you tonight would love, just absolutely love, for the Lord to lay his hands upon you, like he did for so many in the Bible, and just have all of your wounds and all of your aches and all your pains just gone? I bet we'd have a line going twice. Right? They couldn't do it. They couldn't go down to him. Everybody else, issue of blood, blind since birth, lame since birth, accident over here, the healed left and right. But the poor leper, he couldn't go down there. They'd have stoned him. They'd have killed him. They'd have chased him away. And after all, that is the Son of God. If that really is the Son of God, it was God who gave us the command to stay away. We can't break the command and hope that God would come and bless us if we go down and do something we're not supposed to do. So they're up there. They're standing afar off. Before you were saved, no matter how long you lived, you stood afar off from God, unable and unwanting to go down to him. Just like those lepers stood afar off, they wanted to. But for us, we didn't. How many people you push off your doorstep came to you with the gospel? There was a man at Flat Rock by the name of Al Neese. It was Al Neese and Brother Jim Gill. Came to my house one day before we even met him. And they came to our apartment complex and they knocked on our door and they spoke to my mom for a while and they gave her a tract and they gave her some information on the church that was still in that drawer a couple years later when I was invited by my cousin to go to that church. Imagine my surprise when I've been going there for a few months and we were going out cleaning out that drawer and I said, "Hey, look at that." And it had their name on it. Al Neese, his health is deteriorating. Pray for him. But he's still alive. And I remind him of that every now and then. You came to my house. Mom and Dad didn't listen to a word you had to say. They took that thing, they slid that right in the drawer, and nobody ever picked it up. We forgot it was there. But God didn't. We said no. Lord got us anyway. I like to remind him of that every now and then. I like to remind myself of that every now and then. Lord does stuff. And at the time, we didn't want anything to do with it. I still have people that grew up in that house, or people that were in that house as I was growing up. I'm waiting for the Lord to save. But we didn't want to. They came and they were talking to my mom and dad, and my mom, I think, let them in, and they were having a conversation with her. I got out of the room. Why? Because I was a child. I didn't want to hear what the grumpy adults were talking about religion over. I got out of the room. Didn't have anything to do with it. Didn't want anything to do with it. How many times before you were saved, you were given the opportunity, you didn't want to have anything to do with it? Now look at you. Now look at you. See, those lepers, they would have done it. I just want to go down there. And they, for lack of being able to go down there, what did they do? Hey! Hey! They called out to him. Look over here! Look, say, hey, right here! And in many of us, that came in the form of saying yes to that person who invited you to church. Fine, I'll go to church. And maybe you were looking for the Lord. Just didn't know how to look for him. Maybe you didn't know that you were being reeled in by God. Who knows? Maybe you just wanted to shut that person up. If I go once, you could never invite me again. Anybody, don't ever make that deal, because you know you're lying. Right? Just come with me once, I'll leave you alone. Yeah, you're lying. They know it, you know it, don't even bother. I'm going. But don't ask me again. For many of us, it looks just like that, just a shout out. Hey, hey. Maybe we listen to the sermon. Maybe we listen to the friend. But however, the way the Lord brought you out or called back to you, aren't you grateful? Reading verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. I said this morning that the Bible is particular. There's a passage of scripture that talks about the book couldn't contain the whole of the things the Lord has done. So if it's in there, it's not idle. It means out of all the other things that God could have preserved and kept for us, this made it. Right? Have mercy on us. Not heal us. Not make us feel better. Nothing. Have mercy on us. The conditions that we are in, when we're lost, the condition we're in, it is a pathetic condition. And many say, well, it's unfair that the Lord would birth somebody into that position. He didn't green light that. That's something he allowed in his permissive will. But when he created Adam and Eve in the garden, they were perfect. There was no illness. There was no distance between us and God. Who did it? We did. We did that. Well, why does God allow drunk driving accidents? Who does that? As us. God told you not to do it. Hey, listen, how about this? Let's imagine that you're sitting there and you are raising a child. For some of us, it's not going to be too hard to imagine. We're doing it now. Don't do this. Don't touch that. Okay. Did I let them? No. As a matter of fact, when I was a child, that was one of the fastest ways to get me to do something. Tell me not to do it. Because now that's the only thing I could think about. waiting for them to go out of the room so I could go touch, mess with, do whatever. Remember that experiment they talked about with some kids where they put a cookie out in front of them and they say, we'll give you one cookie and you can eat that cookie at any time. But if I come back and you haven't eaten that cookie, I'll give you two cookies. If you'd have left me in that room, I'd have eaten that cookie and turned the rest of the room upside down looking for the other cookies. Right? Don't do that. You didn't let me. You didn't make it so that I did. I did that. Why are men sinners? Because when God says, don't do that, we did that. And now it's a problem. And it's buried so deep into our DNA. Children are born that way. Knowing how to do things. Knowing how to sin. Why? Because it is in our nature. Tell me this. Who taught you how to lie? Who sat you down and says, okay, now listen, sometimes you're going to tell people exactly what happened and exactly what you want, and other times you're not going to do that. Anybody ever sit you down and do that? No, but I guarantee it, if we got into a time machine and I ran into 3-year-old you and you broke something, you'd tell a lie to get out of it. Nobody ever sat you down, but you knew how to do it. Right? How about get angry and be mean when you're angry? You ever have to be taught that? Nope. That comes right out of us. So some of us, we have help. We're surrounded by liars. We're surrounded by angry people. Some had help. But left to our own devices, that's exactly what we would do. Why? Because it is in our nature to do so. In our very nature, we did not deserve a closeness with God. We did not deserve His healing. We did not deserve His forgiveness. So what do we call it when He gives it to us anyway? Mercy. Because that's not what I had coming. Sit there, you consider an eternity in heaven. You consider forgiveness. You ever apologize to somebody? And they said, well, I don't know if I can forgive you. Are you doing all this so I'll forgive you? Listen, when you apologize, you're just admitting guilt and saying, I wish I'd take it back. Right? I can't sit there and say, now you have to forgive me. Now, biblically, that's accurate. They should forgive you. But I could sit there and say, you deserve to be angry at me. You deserve not to trust me. For me to sit there and say, Lord, I'm sorry, that doesn't twist His arm to forgive me. When He does it out of love. He does it because it's what He says is the right thing to do. That's mercy. It's grace. Those lepers, nobody was allowed to touch the lepers. Nobody was allowed to go near the lepers. And the lepers weren't allowed to go near anybody. So when the Lord called back, He was doing something nobody else would have done. Remember the leper He reached out and touched? You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to do that. If we found out that somebody had the flu, would you go give them a hug? I guess it depends on who you are and who they are and how long you've seen them. How long has it been since you've seen them? But for the most part, somebody's like, oh yeah, man, I've had a really bad flu. You don't go over and say, oh, poor baby, come here, give me a hug. You sit there and you go, I'm going to send you some soup from a distance. Right? Where was Jesus? Be healed. Now, in this case, He didn't say be healed. What did He say? Go show yourselves to the priest. He didn't even have to touch him. He didn't have to go over there. He had places to do. He's moving on. He's going into the town. They're on the outside of town. Can't go into the town where they're going to get together and heal people. Can't come down to see him in the road because that's too close to people. Best shot we got is to holler at him from a distance. At distance, didn't hinder God at all. Their disease, their sores, that whiteness to their skin, the missing parts of them, that didn't stop Christ at all. And some of us, we sit there before God with our sins, and it didn't stop Christ at all for us. Well, does the Lord understand that I did this? He did. He understood. He died for you anyway. What are you going to do? Well, does He understand that this is how far that went? He knows. He'll forgive you anyway. Not because you deserve it. Oh, no. Oh, no. But because of how good He is. See, people confuse that. Modern day Christianity, they mess that up. Well, God forgives me because it's the right thing to do. How would God not forgive me? I'll give you this because you don't deserve it. He does it out of the goodness, out of the love that he has. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Listen, I wouldn't give my kid a splinter to help somebody else. To help somebody who was mean to me, somebody who rejected me. I wouldn't sit there and have my child sit in a corner for even a half a second to discomfort my child for half a second for somebody who did any of the things we've done to God, and you wouldn't either. But he loved you anyway. To those lepers, they didn't deserve to be speaking to him. And there would be many people that would sit there and say along many of the things that Christ would do. Well, don't be among the sinners. Come over here. Come on. Oh, no, this is who I came for. Now listen, let's get you out of the way. Don't bring those kids by him. Don't bring those kids. Don't bother him with children. He said, no, bring them. Suffer them. That's love. That's dedication. While the rest of the world would look at you and say, aha, you've done wrong. I can prove I'm better than you. I can put you down and nail on you and whatever I want to do because I find that you're worse than me. Right? How many people have sat there and said, like use the idea, you do this, you'll end up in jail. We put that over the kids' heads. You don't want to be one of those people who ends up in jail. You don't want to be an inmate. You don't want to be a convict. You don't want to be this guy. You don't want to be that guy. But what about those guys in jail? What about those guys and gals who are sitting there in prison? Lord, have saved them just as much as he saved you. He had to reach just as far down for any one of them as he did for you. Not because they deserved it, not because you deserve it, but because that's what mercy means. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. There was a time in your life when the Holy Spirit convicted your heart. And if not, pay close attention to what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit convicted your heart, and you saw that you've done wrong, and you did wrong in front of God's eyes. And that there was a responsibility for that having done wrong. And it scared you. An eternity in hell. A life given into every fleshly desire. Just hoping to feel normal, feel good, feel whatever. Each time those little sins, they betrayed you. The cigarette didn't last long. Marijuana didn't last long. The cocaine didn't last long. The having a bunch of friends, the promiscuous lifestyle, the lies and the hurting other people to get what you want. None of it ever did what it promised it would do. And you realize that because you participated in those things, you would have to spend an eternity in hell. And the only time you had left would go to things that were hurting you. Cried out to the Lord, have mercy on me, forgive me, save me. That is a beautiful moment, no doubt. One night none of us deserved. Again, see yourself as the leper. You didn't deserve to go down to him. He didn't have to bother with you. Most of society wouldn't bother with these people. Oh, sure, you'd find some charitable ones here or there. You'd find some friends and family members willing to go up to a hill somewhere and drop off food or clothing or whatever, medicine, salves, whatever, and then hike back down the mountain. And you'd go up there and just try to smell the city on the stuff that just came out, that place you used to live. God's good. And then it doesn't matter the leper. It doesn't matter the disease. It doesn't matter the sin. His love can overpower those things. That sacrifice that he made was sufficient for those things. And he chose in his goodness to give them to you. Oh, so many folks, I found Jesus. Now, did you find him? Or did he put himself in your path? My wife plays that game. She doesn't say it, but I know she does. I'll go to look for stuff, and every now and then if I'm in a certain mood, stuff will just show up in places I already looked, like the kitchen table. You know what I mean? Where did it go? Where did it go? And I'll come back over and there it is. Oh, yeah, I got you. She's walking away. I go, okay, thank you, honey. Thank you. I don't know why men are useless at that game. She's out there. Just, is that what he did to you? You sure you found it? Well, I chose Christ. Did you, though? Did you? If someone gives you CPR and you choke out the water, did you choose to breathe? Because before you couldn't. And even though, yes, you chose to breathe, before you couldn't. You couldn't choose him. You couldn't want him. Till the Lord reached into your life, turned you on. Flip that switch. Here's your responsibility. Here's your future. But here's grace. And what other option would we take? Now, some folks, they're waiting for the Lord to clap down with thunder. They're waiting for the ground to shake. I'll tell you this, lost people don't desire God. And if you desire God just a little bit, he's talking to you. I'm not talking like a form of godliness. I've known people say that, I don't know if I'm saved. Well, tell me a little bit about your experience. Well, I know I'm a sinner. And honestly, it keeps me up at night that I'm a sinner. Okay. Did you know lost people don't do that? Most of them go to sleep feeling perfectly fine with what they're doing. And I want to know that God has saved me. That's another thing that lost people don't do. They don't sit there and want God to save them. You either are or you're not. That's the beginnings of it. That's the beginnings of it. Listen. Listen and hear. We get all caught up in doctrines of grace, not doctrines of grace. Listen, if you're lost, don't think about doctrines of grace or not doctrines of grace. You listen to what the Lord's saying to you. Because you're not ever going to sit there. No one's ever. Lord never sat there in my life and said, now you see where you are on the list? He didn't do that. You know what he did? He convicted me that I was a sinner. I did wrong things and I wanted to do wrong things. I didn't learn that other stuff till much later. And I said, wow! He was working on this a whole lot longer than I thought. That small part. He's done it for those here that are saved, members of this church. He did it for them. And he still do it today. Still do it today. There ain't a sin, there ain't an attitude, there ain't a way you could see yourself that God still can't save you. We were unclean. We were just as unacceptable in God's eyes as those lepers. And we're not talking about going down and meeting the mayor. We're not talking about going down to the shops. They're talking about presenting themselves before the Son of God. That's intimidating, isn't it? My, that's intimidating. But it's Christ. He wants you to come. He wanted you. Wanted to change your life. Wanted to do incredible things with you. How humbling. How amazing. We couldn't go to him. But instead he did something amazing. Even from a distance. We see the Lord's response. They call out to him, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men. They were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleaned. You know what would be cool about salvation? Is if after the Lord saved you, you never felt a drop of temptation again. Wouldn't that be nice? That's the dream, isn't it? Would be the dream. Those guys, they didn't just look down and they were completely healed. Now, could he have done it? He could have done it. Why didn't he do it? I don't know. We'll have to ask him at another time. He didn't tell us. There was other stuff he was trying to get to. As they went, and I go, what a beautiful illustration of us. Did he cleanse them? Yeah. But what was going on as they were walking? Things were healing. That thumb that stopped moving because the skin around it was all irritated and raw came back. Hey, look at that. Now, you don't get to pick in leprosy where your sores are. So walking could have been a feat for them. Moving their hands could have been an amazing, could have been a good day thing, you know. Hey, I've been sick for a while, but I'm having a good day. I can reach up and touch my ear and the ear is still there. As they're walking, the things that had fallen off, the things that were sore, the bits of skin that had turned white, everything was coming back as they were going. And it says that as the guy, I don't want to call him the leper, but as the guy was walking, he's noticing. The first few weeks when you're saved, they're amazing. But they don't just have to stay there in the first few weeks. You could continue to heal from those old sins. You could continue to be more and more sanctified. Your life becoming cleaner and better and more God-focused every day. And by the way, it should. It should. You don't become the penultimate Christian the day you're saved. As Paul said, you're babes in Christ. Right? You need milk. You don't come out as strong as you'll ever be. And I hope that as you sit here right now, you're not as strong as you'll ever be. I hope you continue to grow. Well, brother, I'm 40 years old. No matter with God, he can make you strong spiritually no matter what. Your body may grow weaker, but that doesn't mean anything for your spirit. He can continue to make you better, continue to strengthen you. I mean, could you just imagine a guy with a limp, just he's sitting there going off to the high priest. All right, let's go see how hey, wait a minute. Did you hear that? Did you hear that click? I haven't been able to do that in 5 years. Look at that. Your prayer life becomes better. Your desire for the word grows deeper. And so does your understanding of it. As they walked, they got better. And that's something that God gave to you. Every day we walk with God, it gets better. It is when we become distracted that we begin to see things get cooler and slow down. Right? You ain't going to have a great Christian walk if you stop reading your Bible. You're not going to have a great Christian walk. You stop obeying the Bible. You stop praying. And some folks, they find themselves in that pickle. Hey, I don't enjoy praying like I used to. I don't enjoy reading the Bible like I used to. Well, you need to keep walking. Come on, get back to it. Let's go. Ain't nothing to it. You got to get your eyes back in the book. Doesn't matter if you don't want to. Doesn't matter if you're not interested in it. Get in there. And you'll find the desire for it again. Because it is unlike anything else. The more of it you have, the more of it you want. For any other book out there, man, you better have a good book if you want my attention. I'll sit there. I'll go through a book. I'll get through two chapters. If I'm not into it, I'm not into it. I ain't going to waste the time. I got stuff to do. I'll toss it aside. And you know how I treat some of the theological books that I'll read? Strike one, strike two, strike three, file 13. You know, bin that thing. It's not interested in it. The Word of God, though, the more I'm in it, the more of it I want. I've never come across a part where I go, that's ridiculous. It's good. It entices you. It teaches you. It's always adequate for the cares and concerns that you have in that moment. Well, even today in 2023, folks, listen, nothing's changed about living. Oh, we've got some fun stuff. We've got some cool toys. We've got some science that we didn't have before, some medicine we didn't have before, some engineering we didn't have before, but most of life is still right there. And even with these fancy things, you still find parallels. The Bible speaks to everything in our lives. Leaves nothing out. Don't think that just because our cars move faster than ever or can drive ourselves, that the Word of God has lost its relevance. Christ called out to each and every one of us that are saved. Not one of our sores stopped him. Not the ugliness of your sin, not the rebelliousness of your nature, or the fact that he knew that even when we were healed, we would still be a problem. I want to ask you this. Do you think that when the Lord healed all 10 of them, do you think he knew 9 of them were a little ungrateful? He did. He healed them anyway. Hey, do you think for all the people that the Lord saved, do you think he knew before he saved them that they would still sin after? Of course he did. Of course he did. He knew you'd still struggle. He knew you'd still fight. He knew that you would still do things your own way from time to time. He knew you'd slip. He knew you'd fall. That's why he gave you the word. That's why he gave you a church. That's why he gave you pastors. That's why he gave you a support system among the church. That's why he gave you everything he gave you. Because he knew you were still feeble. He knew you were still shaky on your feet. And that you, the potential to sin would always be there. So he continues to forgive you. It's up to us, though, not to need that continual forgiveness so much. Just because you're prone to sin doesn't mean you have to. I've heard people use that as an excuse. Well, we're all sinners. Yeah, but you know, you still have a choice, right? Just because it's in your nature to do so doesn't mean you can't go the rest of your days without. It's a big goal, it's a big task, but you could do it. Even though he knew that we would still disappoint him from time to time, he died on the cross for our sins anyway. Died on the cross, took the pain, the punishment, and the hurt. Took the embarrassment to save my unworthy soul. Giving us life again. Giving us life. See, here's the thing. When the Lord saves you, you learn how to love different. Because you've been shown the greatest example of love there's ever been. You act different. Because you know what perfection looks like and you know how much you struggle to get there. You learn a lot. With the Holy Spirit that indwells us, as he guides us, and guilts us and convicts us, and encourages us with verses and things like that, enabling us to do things as far as serving the Lord that normally wouldn't be possible, we're given a different kind of life. We now have discernment and wisdom we didn't have before. Not because God went abracadabra, but because we've got the book. Because we have the Holy Spirit. And we've got a mind that can now see and obey and desire proper things. Godly things. Oh, these are precious gifts. Giving us a new kind of life. A life more abundant. A life more structured and solid. A life with a whole lot less heartaches. And when we do have the heartaches, we've got something to do with it. Lord, help me in my heartache. I don't know about you, but my heart's ached pretty hard sometimes. And I have found him right there. Found him comforting me through his word. Comforting me with his presence and prayer. The Lord does not abandon his children. And we get to live as children of God. We get to live that way. With blessings doled out upon us. With his tender compassion and mercies on us every day. With forgiveness for as often as we repent. So now the question I must ask is, we are walking away from this wonderful salvation and we are getting better every day and stronger every day. Let me ask you this. What's it worth to you? What's it worth to you? Now we would sit there and we're all mature people. We would sit there and we would say, oh, there's no cost. There's no price. It's higher than anything. It's the most valuable thing I could ever think of, salvation. But I want you, what does it mean to you? I've got a little problem with my garage right now. I got a lot of stuff in my garage. And I love to throw things away. So I'll go through, I'll sit there, well, what does it mean to me? Well, it hasn't melted much. I haven't touched it in 2 years. Right? Get that out of here. Well, how much does that mean to you? Well, it's dirty. I let it kind of fall apart. It's rusted all over. It doesn't really function. It wouldn't be worth it for me to get it running again. So what do you do? Now, what about the things that do matter to you? What do you do with them? Curio cabinets, safes, things where you hang them up on the wall where you can see them. Those are the things that are valuable to you, right? And you treat them like they are valuable to you. So let me ask you again. Your salvation, what's it worth to you? What's the price you'd put on it? How close to you is it? Are we aware of it every day? Or is it something that we only put on Sundays? Oh, Sunday, we've got to put it on. Oh, I'm glad to be saved, right? Glad to be a Christian. Proud to be a child of God. And amen, brother, and I'll sing and I'll pray. And I'll... Come Monday, we take it off. We go do other things. Why? Because that's a Sunday thing. That's a Wednesday thing. That's a Friday morning thing. Right? That's a when I'm around God's people thing. That's when I'm at a Bible conference thing. But other than that, it doesn't get taken out much. Much like some Bibles. They never make it past the coffee table. They never make it into the lap. They're not as thoroughly read as they could be. I tell you what, a good Bible is a Bible that has some tear stains on it. A good Bible is a Bible that knows the feel of your hand. A good Bible is a Bible where the pages have had their use. See, I've got enough Bibles to where I can grab a hold of a couple of them. See, now this one, I haven't read this one all that much. And you see the clean lines to it. But I think everybody here's got that one Bible. It's got writing in it. The pages are creased and cracked. The oils from your skin have gotten into it. It is a well-worn machine. Well-worn machine, right? We've all got that Bible. At least we should. Why? Because God means something to us. It's not my devotion to the church building. It's not my devotion to a place or an ideology. It's a love for God. Why? Because He first loved us. He started it. He loved you. You love Him. So I want to get in that book. I want to find out what's going on there. I want to apply those things to my life. What is forgiveness worth to you? Consider that. What is the value of forgiveness? You know, there's a lot of people live in this world, they don't think they need forgiveness from God. I've met a couple don't think they need forgiveness from people when they've hurt them. But we do. We need forgiveness. And it's not a forgiveness we have a right to. It's not a forgiveness that we can just, no. There must be guilt there. There must be a real desire. How many times have we heard preachers go door to door? All right, pray this prayer. Say, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Please save me. And they pray that prayer. Aha! See, they're saved. Another notch in my Bible. Hold on. That's 52 today. That's cheap salvation. That's not a real one. That's salvation where someone just goes, in Jesus' name, amen. But there's nothing in the heart. There is no repentance. There is no conviction. There is a bunch of politeness to get this person off my porch. But beyond that, there's nothing there. That person is not saved, and they should have been taught better than just tricked into a show. Now say these words. Okay, I really don't have a lot. Say these words. Okay, all right, you're saved. Congratulations. We'll see you on Sunday. That person never comes. Why? Because they were just hoodwinked into saying a word. Or maybe they were being polite and saying some words. No, there must be conviction. There must be understanding. I am a sinner. Because of the wrong I've done, I deserve an eternity in a place called hell. But Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for my sins. And because of that sacrifice, I can have forgiveness and an eternity in heaven instead of hell. That forgiveness is the key. Sin had been done. A crime had been forgiven. A crime had been committed. Your nature alone held you back from heaven. But you were justified and forgiven. Not because God decided, okay, well, you said you're sorry. You humbled yourself. I'll give it to you. No, Jesus had to come and shed His blood so you can have that forgiveness. He was an active participant in making you eligible for forgiveness. Because without that blood, without that payment, wouldn't have happened. Wouldn't have happened. How much is that forgiveness worth? I can imagine him as he's walking away. Got my hand back. I don't know what his job was. I have a ton of questions for this guy. What was your job? Oh, I was a blacksmith. I was a silversmith. Oh, I dyed cloth. for people to buy that I sold in the street. I was a fisherman. I was whatever. Whatever he did, I bet he needed a hand. And again, I don't know what all was wrong with him either. But as he was getting better, he's look at that. I'm better. I'm well. The sores are going away. And he's probably sitting there thinking, I can hug my child again. I can embrace my wife again. I can walk through my door. I can walk down the street, ask people how they're doing. I could go to the temple. I could go, when they're getting together to do some recreation, some sports, I can watch. I can join. This is better. I tell you what, forgiveness, one of the greatest gifts we could ever be given. To be able to live as a child of God, having guidance and blessings and that progressive sanctification, what does it mean to you to be called a child of God? I'll tell you what it means to me. To be able to point and say, God's my Father. I didn't deserve it. I was adopted. I wasn't even one of the cool ones like the children of Israel that were chosen, that were selected and grown and developed into a nation and a protected bloodline. I wasn't even one of them. I was the stranger. I was the Samaritan. Amen. People sit there and think, why? I've got Irish history. I've got German history. I've got this history. I've got that history. I've taken one of those DNA tests. I am a certified pure blood mutt. My people came from everywhere. Now, I don't really trust those things because every time I get an update from them, I'm a little more of something and a little less of something. So maybe my DNA is out there, my spit or whatever it was, is just changing, I guess. I don't know. Don't put a lot of stock into it, but I'll tell you this, I am a mutt. If there's a genealogy out there that should be hated, I probably got it. It's just it. But I'm a child of God. I can hang my hat on that. Not that I deserve it, not that I had it coming. But me, with all my unworthiness, I still get to be able to join. Still get to be able to be a part. To live in heaven? Oh, to live in heaven. Anybody here, you woke up cold this morning? Or at least you got out of your house and it was cold? Perfect weather in heaven. Anybody here, you have a hard time seeing in the dark? Ain't no dark in heaven. Well, how do we sleep? That's a wonderful thing. You don't got to do that either. Your body doesn't have frailties. Your body doesn't have weaknesses. You don't wake up on your third birthday with a 101 degree fever up in heaven. It's wonderful. The companionship is wonderful. Why? Because everybody's lost their sin nature. Now we've got our right minds on. You don't have to sit there. Sometimes I've got neighbors. I'll wave at some neighbors. They'll wave at me. They'll stop and they'll talk. And then sometimes those same neighbors will sit there. You can tell they're having a bad day. They'll be coming down the road or out in their yard with a scowl on their face. And I'll wave at them. They won't have anything to do with it. Maybe it's me. It might be me. If I don't look at him, he'll go away. And they just, maybe it's because I go, that could be it. But hey, we'll all be in the same kind of mood up in heaven. Happy and carefree. Happy and carefree. Not a worry in our minds. No leaves to pick up. No snow to shovel. No yard to mow. No roof to fix. No doctor's visits to go to. Somebody told me just recently, and I had a chuckle at this. And they said, I'm at the age where most of my social interactions or most of my social events involve doctor's appointments. Where I get together with people just like me in a waiting room. I chuckled at that. And I kind of felt sad, but I chuckled at it a little bit more. So, you know, you could come to church. Always come to church. No needles. Perfect land, perfect government, and a land where there is no curse. Land where there is no curse. No saying goodbye. No illnesses to grip you. No surgeries to plan, no tests to wait for the results for. Just perfect land. I wonder what the news will be like in heaven, if there is news. Just trying to imagine. There'd be no reason for a weather report. There'd be no Crime Stoppers. There would be no scandals. There would be nothing really to report other than, hey, everything's going well. Here's what time choir practice starts. The angels are going to get together and they're going to do this later on. We can't even say today because there's no night. We're going to get on together and we're going to go do this. And if you want to come, come. Most of us will just be gathered around that throne, enjoying ourselves. Well, when I get bored, your body won't get bored. Oh man, I'm looking forward to that. Amen. I'm looking forward to not getting bored. I've been getting bored since I was a kid, and I'll tell you this, it has always gotten me in trouble. Boredom is a disease as far as I'm concerned. Man, I'll get in trouble for you give me some boredom, I'll cause all kinds of havoc. Ain't going to have that up in there. Oh, my voice isn't right today. Not going to happen. What's that worth to you? An unclouded day. A street of pure gold. To sit at Jesus' feet. To walk with saints of old. What's that worth to you? Amen. Is it in the car? Is it on the wall? Is it in a safe? Is it close to your heart? What is it worth to you? I'll tell you what it was for this man with leprosy. His healing was everything. It was everything. And that must be our response to God. Lord, this is everything. You have given me everything. But what about the bad things that happen? We are on a cursed earth. I'm going to say this again like I've said it 100 times. If God saved you and dumped you into a fiery marsh where there was nothing but spam to eat and the nasty color Kool-Aid to drink, you've still been blessed. If he didn't bless you with a single day of health after that, if he didn't give you much more money than you needed for your bills, he'd have still been good. But he doesn't do that to you, does he? Even in the heartache, he is still dumping blessings out toward us. Well, that could have been much worse. We just talked about that. That could have been a lot worse. You know, I was thinking that for your prayer request today. Had a stroke. Huge portion of his brain's been affected. But yet he's still acting as though nothing happened. That could have been worse. I saw a picture. Brother Nathaniel Hilly put a picture up on the internet. He was wearing a t-shirt. And it said, I can't remember exactly what it said. Oh, it bothers me. But it says, it cost me an arm and a leg, but I was able to negotiate. Remember back when we were praying for him to live? Remember back when we were praying for Kathy to live? Remember back when we were like, oh, that is a tall order. And we've got some tall orders we're praying for now. And some of us have had tall orders where God said no. And guess what? That's okay too. It's going to hurt for a bit. It's going to hurt. But we could still go to God for that. If we could live eternally in peace and never be sick and nothing bad ever happened to us, it wouldn't be called earth. It'd be heaven, and we ain't there yet. We're in the rough spot before it that we made. You know what he did? He turned around and he said, thank you. You get up tomorrow morning and you're still saved. And by the way, you will be because you can't lose it. Lord, thank you. You get down on your knees tonight and you ask God to forgive you for sins you committed today. You end that prayer with, thank you. Because he done saved you once and you went out there and acted a fool again. Thank you for forgiving me again. Thank you for not wiping me out for being so ungrateful and so reckless. We need to thank him. I'll tell you what, when that man turned back around, what did Jesus say? Your sins are forgiven you too. See, what the Lord did, and I know different commentators disagree with this, but The Lord said what he said. Did you hear what he said? Your sins be forgiven you. I believe that. I said this on Friday, and for those of you that were there on Friday, sorry for using the verse twice. If you're wondering, I stole this verse for Friday. I didn't steal Friday's verse for this. But no, what I firmly believe that the Lord saved him when he came back. Lord saved him. And that forgiveness healed a whole lot more than the leprosy. For all, oh, I got this wrong and that wrong, and my ear done fell off, and my nose is missing pieces, and this is bad and that bad. Whatever it was he was missing, and the Lord healed. He healed a whole lot more when he saved him. Thank you, Lord. Let us always, with every step we take, thank you. Because what you've given me is the best of all the things I could have had. Salvation. What illness can hurt me when all it could ever do is send me home? What could the doctor say to me whereby God's words wouldn't be more valuable? How many times have we prayed for somebody, well, the doctor said this, and the Lord said something completely different otherwise? We even said that back in our prayer band too. You don't normally see that, well, except for if the Lord's there. And who knows what you're going to see, man? You don't know. Well, we're going to do the surgery, but you know that'll never heal. 2 years later, it's healed. You never know. It's just the way the Lord does stuff. But even if he says no, there's nothing on this earth that's going to take away eternity. There's nothing that can happen here that'll take away my God's love and watch care over me. Let us be grateful. Heavenly Father, Lord, I feel like thank you is a very cheap thing to say because you deserve much more. I wish the English language could do better at expressing the amount of gratitude and love we have for you for what you've done. Lord, I pray that you show that love and that forgiveness to every single person in this room. And Lord, those that are on our list that are in our lives. That Father, as we see friends and family and those lists are renewed. Lord, I pray you just dole out that salvation. We trust your will. We trust your way. But Lord, we ask. Father, help us to in all things be grateful. Help us, Lord, to see the value of what you've given us, and let us not forget its value as we go through our days. There were 9 people who walked away with their plans in their mind, dealing with the problems, getting their life back in track, going through the motions of things to get back into society. But Father, there was one that remembered. Help us, Lord, to be like the one, not encumbered and distracted by the things we must do, but Father, grateful for what you've done. For its name of Jesus we pray. Amen.